you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, come to Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
A miracle is waiting you. Come to Jesus. He knows your needs. He's waiting now. Don't turn away. He gave his life for all your sin. He'll give you life that has no end.
Yes, amen.
Won't you hear now his call? Won't you give him your all? Come to Jesus, come to Jesus today.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what you've done. Come to Jesus. When you believe, you will receive.
That's right.
In trusting faith, he'll change your life. He'll lead your hurt, he'll lead your strife. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus today.
Yes, please.
Come now, oh come to Jesus. Come here. Won't you give him your all? Come to Jesus, come to Jesus today.
Yes, amen.
Only believe, only believe. All things are possible. Only believe.
That's right. Been praying for this meeting, and I know Brother Joey will do a tremendous job preaching. I'm not concerned about that. I'm really concerned about how we are going to respond and support and encourage what God wants to do throughout this short period of time. And it will be a short period of time. Well, Joey's preaching this morning. He'll preach tonight at 6. And then Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday at 7. And I want to plead with you. I can't command you. I can't force you. But I want to strongly exhort you not to miss a single service. If you can be here at every service, I promise you it will be a tremendous benefit and blessing to you. But as well, you will help and encourage others. It's not just about what you get when you go to church. It's about how you help other people. And just the fact that you're in church this morning encourages someone here today. Encourage me for sure. And so let's all do our best to be here. If you've got to call in to work and tell them you can't make it, don't lie. You know, Christians can't lie. But do all that you can do to be here in every service. And then earnestly continue to pray that God will speak to your heart. You know, you can have be here at every service and not have revival.
That's right.
You know, you need God to speak to you about your own relationship with Christ. Amen? Amen? That's what I want the Lord to do to me. I need to be changed. I need to be more like Jesus.
Amen.
And so you pray earnestly for Brother Joy. Pray for the messages. Pray that you'll be responsive to those messages. And let's do our best to commit to be here at every service. And I would expect then that God would give us a revival. Amen?
Amen?
And so, Brother Joey, come up here and preach the word. Love you, brother.
Love you. Thank you. All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. We can do better than that. Let's do it again. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Take your Bibles and go meet to John chapter number 11 this morning. John chapter number 11 for our time together here in the Word of God. And thank you so much for allowing me to come. And it's humbling, Brother Tommy. Thank you for the privilege to be back here. And Faith Chapel, thank you all for coming this morning. And
amen.
I know you could have slept in and you could have done something else this early in the morning. But thank you so much for being here. I do want to echo the challenge though. Hey, come.
Yes.
And I promise that I'll try to do my best to be mindful of time. Believe this or not, I have a family. I have kids. And sometimes people think that preachers' homes function different than their homes. And but they don't. My youngest son reminds me all the time, Dad, there's a very thin line between a long sermon and a hostage situation. Amen. And so be careful, all right? And he'd tell me sometimes that you almost out-preached the Holy Spirit today. Amen. And so I want to make sure that when you come, to do my best to be timely, and I know that you have a life. And but I'll say this: it don't take God long to do His business.
Amen.
If we focus on Him.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, you look in the Bible, and sometimes God did things in minutes, instead of months, and God
Amen.
Can do it. And I'm excited about being here. Thank y'all too for the hotel and it was a blessing being there. And the gas station by me. Now I'm from South Alabama. We don't have y'all are more down south than us, but we don't have the gas stations like y'all do. I have a gas station by my hotel that's got an ice cream machine inside of it. Amen. Hey, our McDonald's don't even work. Like, you know what I mean? And so, but it is a blessing to be here, and I'm looking forward to it. And excited about our time together. I want to jump into it. And I want to get to where it's been echoed this morning, if you've been paying attention, and the Lord is doing it. So let's go to John chapter number 11. John chapter number 11, if you're there, will you say amen?
Amen.
If you're able, will you stand with me out of respect for God's word? And I don't mean this crazy. I met Brother Tommy. It's probably 22 years ago. And I'm telling you, he's got the same amount of hair now as he did then. And it's almost envious, ain't it? Amen? But it is what it is. You roll with it, all right? And so let's go to John chapter number 11. John chapter number 11, and verse number 1, the Bible says this. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary that anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair and whose brother Lazarus was sick. So we have this man that is sick, and he's not just sick. The verbiage here is he's sick and he's dying. Verse 3. Therefore his sister sent him saying unto him, saying, Lord, Behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. So Jesus cared about Lazarus. Now, but you got to ask yourself this question. If he cared about him, what was Jesus' response? Look in verse 4. When Jesus heard that, when he heard what? That the man that he cared about was sick and dying. When he heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Understanding he's talking about two different deaths here. But look in verse 5. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. And so the Bible's pointing out very carefully here that Jesus Christ, don't miss this, cares about the man that is sick and the family that cares about this man. Do y'all Amen. See that? But now look in verse 6. And the Bible says, and when he heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, he said to the disciples, let us go into Judea again. Now, here's a question. I got a couple more verses. Stay with me. If he knew that Lazarus was sick and dying, and if he cared about these people that were involved in this situation, then why did he wait before he went?
Right.
And this is why. Because sometimes it takes time for us to understand our real need. Now, don't miss this. Sometimes time is the revealer of our real need. And I want us to look at it. And he goes into Judea. He gets to the scene. And I look in verse 18 when he comes to the funeral. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. And then said Martha unto Jesus. Here's the conversation. Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not what?
Died.
Now look at verse 22. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou would ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again.
Amen.
Now look here. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now I want to read the next two verses. Before I do, I want you to pay attention to what she said. I know.
Yeah.
Now get this. She claimed that she would.
Knew.
But the reality is, she thought she knew what the need was.
Yeah.
Now don't miss this. There are many people that are sitting in churches that know about Jesus, that have been around Jesus, that have been educated in the Bible, who think that they know who he is. But they don't. Now look in verse 25. And Jesus said unto her, no, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were what?
Dead.
Yet shall he
live.
Now look in verse 26. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And this morning, for the next few moments, I want to preach on this simple thought. Life now, not later. Will you pray with me? Now, Father, you are the only person that knows our hearts.
Yes, God.
You're the only person on this property right now that can see the real need that we don't know. And God, I know this. Your word is very clear.
Yes.
That you came to give us life. And Lord, I pray in the next few moments that you open our hearts, our understanding.
Yes, God. Grant
to our need for you. From those who need to come to Christ to those who have him. That now, Lord, you would do your work in us.
Yes.
We pray in your name, Jesus. And all God's people say it.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I don't encourage listening to pop bands, but there is a pop band, a rock band that is known throughout the entire world and have been for several decades. And they are known as the group that had the song of the century. And you say, preacher, why is their song the song of the century? You may have heard it. If you haven't, you've seen it in movies and Disney movies, but it's called "I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For." And that song was written by one of the singers, the lead singer of Bono in the group U2. But that song, what's most important about it is not that the song was a hit sensation, not that the song for the last several decades has been in multiple movies and even cartoons today. The most important truth behind that song is that it is an experience of the expression of the life of lead singer Bono. You see, Bono grew up around the things of God. Bono was taught the Bible about who Jesus was. Bono personally had a belief that Jesus was who he said he was. But yet, even in the midst of church and religion and the Bible and knowing who Jesus truly was, Bono still had this longing in his heart because he still had not found what he was looking for. If you actually look at the song actually details his testimony. It talks about the tongues of angels. It talks about the kingdom of God. It talks about Jesus dying on a cross for our shame. But all of that meant nothing to him. Not because he had not learned about the truth, but because he had not experienced the God of the truth.
Amen.
And can I tell you this morning, my friend, Bono's testimony can be repeated over and over again in the Church of Jesus today. People have learned about God. People have learned about the Bible, but their personal experience of day in and day out, morning to evening and noontime, of knowing God's presence with him, of God being real in their life, it is so foreign to their understanding of who God is.
Right.
And my friend, this morning you and I must realize that Jesus Christ did not come to this earth to die for our sins so that we would have to wait until heaven to be able to experience God in our
Amen.
Life. And you say, Brother Joey, what do you mean by that? We've got to get a hold of this.
Yeah.
Many people's understanding of Christianity is that God has come down here to save me and that God has forgiven me of my sins and I just got to hang on like a hare in a biscuit until I get to heaven, my friend. But that ain't what the Bible teaches.
Yeah.
Jesus himself said, I came to give life and life more abundantly. Right. And the idea there is God came to fulfill us. God came to be in us. God came to be with us, my friend. And the Christian life is not a life of endurance, my friend. It is a life of excitement with God in our life.
Amen.
We're not going to meet another God when we get to eternity. I want you to think about this. Many people think, if I could just meet God, you've got him if you're saved.
Amen.
You're not going to get a different spirit.
Right.
Do we understand that? When we die down here and our life is over and we make it to heaven and we get to be with God, we're not going to meet a different God than he already is.
That's good. Amen.
And we've either got him, don't miss this, or we don't.
Amen.
And just because I know the Bible and just because I believe the Bible does not mean that I am experiencing the God of the Bible in my life.
That's good, preacher.
And there's a difference.
There is.
There's a difference in it.
Yes, it is.
And in our text this morning, Jesus Christ is standing right in front of a lady named Martha who did not understand that Jesus was there to help her at that moment.
Right.
Now I want you to think about that. Her brother Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Jesus arrived here at the funeral to tell her that he will live again. And she cut him off and said, I know, Lord. Don't miss this. I know, Lord. And what did she do? She quoted scripture. I know that he'll live again in the last day at the resurrection. And Jesus stopped her and said, no, you don't understand, Martha. I'm not here to talk about life after death. I'm here to talk about life now. I came to give him life now, my friend.
Yeah.
And that is why Jesus came. Jesus Christ came to give us life. He came to give us peace. He came to give us power. He came to give us purpose, my friend. And the reality is God has a life for us on a daily basis. And I don't have to wait to heaven to experience it. I don't have to wait till I die to be with God. I can be with God now. I can have God now. I can experience God now. I can feel God now. And I can talk to God now. Ain't you glad today we can have Jesus? Somebody say amen. Yeah. Thank God for truth.
Amen.
See, okay, if I, yeah, he got his coat off. I can take mine off too. Amen.
Amen.
And the reality is this. Many times we look at the Christian life and we're so confused about it.
Come on.
I like what Adrian Rogers said. He said this, Jesus did not come to make my life a funeral, but a feast.
Ooh. Amen.
And I wonder this morning as you sit here and you say, Brother Joey, I want that life.
Come on.
I don't want a life where I go to church and I'm reminded only of all the bad things.
Come on, preacher. Amen.
That I
am. Yeah.
Let's do it. I want to go and I don't want my concept of God to be that I'm a bad person and if I don't continue to refrain from all this stuff that it's going to be bad for me. I don't want to live that life.
Right.
But do I want a life where if I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, He's there.
Amen.
I want a life where when I'm going down the road and my phone rings and it's a tragic news that even though my circumstance may be difficult, my God is real, even in the midst of that. That is the life that I want.
Amen.
I don't want a life where I just picture Christianity as I'm just living in a tent until I get to glory, because that's what God requires for salvation. My friend, listen. God came to give us life.
Amen.
And He came to give it to us now.
Yes.
And you said, Rejoice, how can we have that? How can we have that? How did Jesus come and give life to this man here in this passage? How did He do it? Now, I know you ain't going to believe this, but I got two thoughts. Stay with me, all right? If you're in church and preacher got 2 points, you say amen, all right?
Amen.
Number one, the light that Jesus has promised to us is found at our death. Now I want you to look at me in verse number 25. And I want you to give me an opportunity to explain this. But will you look what the Bible says here? Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, watch this, though he were what? Say it.
Dead
yet shall he live. You see, Jesus tells us here that he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And the idea here is there will be a day when Jesus, I understand this truth, will bring all believers out of the grave into eternity. Yes, I know that is there. But right here, Jesus is saying that he came to give spiritual life to those who were spiritually dead. And we're all spiritually dead, but I want you to think about Lazarus this morning. And here's the point. Lazarus was dead as dead could be. You can't get no more dead than Lazarus was dead. He was gone, folks.
Right.
He'd been dead 4 days. I want you to think about this. His body had already begun to stink.
Yeah.
You know why it was stinking? Because he wasn't dead. He was past dead. He was already the decomposition smell. My friend, this dude was dead.
Amen.
But understand this. It was in that state when they realized nobody could do anything for him.
Right.
That Jesus gave him life.
Wow.
And my friend, this reminds us this morning that you and I can have the light that only Jesus can give us, but we must come to the end of ourselves. We must die to ourselves and we must look to Christ as a sinner. You see, they tried to help Lazarus. They did everything they could to help him get better, but they didn't find life in Christ. They didn't find the resurrection power until he died and his life ended. And my friend, you can have Christ today. Christ came for you today. He died for you today. He gave his blood for you today. He rose for you today. And he promises you life today. But you cannot have that life until you come to the end of yourself. Until you come to the done with you. Until you realize you can't do it. You are a sinner, my friend. You don't just sin. You are a sinner. You don't just do bad things. You're a bad person, my friend. We're all rotten to the core. We're dead in trespass and sin. And we need Christ as our life because we have him.
Amen.
And I want you to think with me just a moment. I was in a conversation one day with a guy that had been, listen to me, in Bible college. You still with me? Can you say amen?
Amen.
I'm not against education. I got several. I'm not against degrees. But listen to me carefully. When education pushes us away from our need for Christ. It's not education, it's deduction. Somebody say,
amen.
You don't know what that word, that's an Alabama word. Amen. We made it up. But listen to this. Was talking to him along this line, and he had a spiritual need. And I was talking about this man, you've got to turn to Christ. And he said, the Bible says just to believe in Jesus. And I said, understand that is what the Bible teaches.
Yes.
But here's what it implies.
Come on.
You cannot believe in Jesus until you stop believing in yourself.
Mm, that's good, preacher. Amen.
You cannot believe in Jesus until you stop believing in yourself. And my friend, we have to come to the place where we realize not that we have done bad things, but that we are bad people.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I'm prideful. You said, Brother Joey, you shouldn't say stuff like that because not everybody, you ain't never been married if you don't think you got pride.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Tommy, for being honest. It'd be a good job if somebody say amen right there.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to tell you. You say, nuh-uh. Okay, ma'am. You let your husband go to Walmart and park in a parking lot spot that you don't want him to.
Come on, preacher. Amen.
Who would have thought the apocalypse could happen over something like that? You know why? You ready?
Pride. Yeah.
Pride. We're all bad people. Listen, what I'm giving you at is from the Bible this morning, this truth.
Yes, sir.
If we want the life of Christ, we must come to the end of ourselves and come to Him as a sinner. Mm. Jesus Christ gave us an example of this in Luke 18, but I want you to listen to this story, and I'm moving on to number two. Everybody still okay? Can I get an amen?
Yes, sir. Amen.
He said, two men, don't miss this, went into the church.
Yeah.
Implication, both were there because they wanted to hear the Bible.
Mm.
Amen.
The Bible says two men were in the church around the truth, and they were both even praying.
Yeah, right.
Don't miss this. But one of the men throughout the service, this was his thoughts. That dude over there. I'm glad he's here.
Mm.
He really needs here. He needs here more than anybody else needs here. He needs here. I tell you what, she's had a rough week on Facebook. I'm glad she came.
Mm.
In his mind, he's comparing himself to the needs of all the other people around him.
Come on, preacher.
But the other guy, don't miss this, knelt down and said, God, be merciful to me as a sinner.
Yes.
I need you because I am a sinner.
Yes.
And the Bible says he left justified with peace and with God. But the other guy, don't miss this, he left church right back to his misery.
Yeah.
Why? Because we can't have the life of Christ until we die to self and look to Christ.
Amen.
As our Savior. Can I get an amen right there?
Amen.
Let's do number two. I want you to go to number two with me. Number one, the life of Jesus begins at our death. Number two, the life of Jesus must be surrendered to daily if you're a Christian.
Amen. That's good.
Now I want you to follow the passage here. Let's let the Bible speak for itself.
Mm.
Verse number 26, look what it says. And the Bible says, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me, now watch this, shall never what?
Die.
You see, Jesus saying here, whosoever liveth and believeth in him will never die. The word die here is in the context here is spirit, talking about a spiritual death. And Jesus promises here that, hey, we will never die spiritually if we have Christ. But get this, the idea, the picture of the word here is that of a leaf that is shriveling up because there's a lack of nutrients. It's the idea of a tree that has, where the roots have been being choked out by other weeds and things, and that tree slowly begins to digress and it slowly begins to spiritually die. Why? Because there's no nutrients being given to it, and God here is promising us that we will never have to live a day of our life without His presence and person in our life. But that promise, don't miss this, is in the conditional mood. And here's what it means. That promise is only guaranteed as long as you fulfill the requirements.
Amen.
What are the requirements? Look back at verse 26 again. Let me explain this, and then we're going to wrap this thing up. Verse number 26, and he says, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And so God is trying to get us to understand that we can experience Him every day in our life. But we must live and believe in Him. We must depend on Him for our life. We must look to Him and we must obey His voice and presence in our life. Amen. Jesus Christ this morning must be the focus of my life.
Amen.
From sun up to sundown. Amen. Now let me get this, and I want to share a story with you recently, just a couple weeks ago from our church. Hebrews writer put it like this. Looking unto
Jesus.
Yes. Now, if you know the verse, I want you to think about this. The author and finisher of our what? Say it.
Faith.
Now don't miss this. He sums up the Christian life that simple. Looking to Jesus, believing on Jesus, trusting in Jesus, calling on Jesus, whatever you want to call it. There's several verbs in the Bible. Faith in Christ. Looking to Jesus. The author, beginning, and finisher, ending of our faith. That is the summation of the Christian life.
Amen.
Don't miss this. When we come to Christ, we are not under rules. We're under a ruler.
Amen.
Don't miss this. We are not under the law. We're under the God of the law.
Amen.
That law now lives in us, Romans 8.
Yeah.
And my daily experience as a Christian is focusing on Christ, being mindful of my need for Christ as a sinner, and listening to Him lead me and guide me and talk to me and discipline me and chastise me in my life.
Yeah.
But He is the Lord of my life. Where I hear His voice. He directs me. He guides me. Now, I want you to think about this. You say, Brother Joel, make this simple. Won't you just follow me here? If you're still with me, will you say, go ahead?
Go ahead.
Y'all doing good. Hey. I've been preaching 22 minutes. Y'all still awake? Somebody's
amen.
Amen. God created us for salvation in His Son. I want you to think about this. The Bible says actually that He predestined us into the adoption of Christ. What does that mean? Jesus, before the world was ever even created, God set forth that everybody that would ever be saved would only be saved in Christ.
Yes.
He dictated everything that we would only be saved by Jesus.
Amen.
And get this. He created us in such a way that you can only think of one thing at a time. Ladies, I just solved a whole bunch of marriage issues. That's why your husband can't watch ESPN and listen to you at the same time. Amen.
Okay.
He created that way. Watch this. See, this is why we come to church. Isn't marriage counseling fun? Isn't
amen.
It? Watch this. You and I can only focus on one thing at a time. And wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart's going.
Right.
And if Christ is your life, that's what you think about. You remember, Joy, do you not focus on work? Yeah. But hey, you, as you type in the sentence, you going back to Jesus. Why? Because you understand He is your life.
Amen.
We must look and focus on Him.
Amen.
True story. We don't live in a plethora of people like y'all do. Like our town is barely 13,000 people. Our county is like 26,000 folks. We don't have all the people around us that y'all do. And so many of the people that we reach are people that somehow God moves there. True story, about 2 months ago, there was this couple. He grew up in church. She grew up in church. He got saved in church. She got saved in church. She went to a Christian school. They both went through the same Bible college. 4 years. They got married, started having kids. And how many of you understand? When you start having kids, reality sets in. Because what you see on TV don't work. Somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
And misery set in their life.
Mm.
And they go to church and they would hear hard preaching about how to live, what's right, what's wrong. But the misery was inside.
Mm.
And after a couple years of battling and the emptiness and the void, one day they decided, we're going to leave and we're going to start over somewhere else. So they packed their bags, listen, from northern Michigan. Now, let me tell you, when I say northern Michigan, they were a couple miles from the lake up there. They were way up top, tip top, and they say, where are we going? So they begin to try to buy houses in south United States, in the southern part. They had one in Florida they put a bid on, didn't work. They had one in Dothan, Alabama they put a bid on, didn't work. They saw this house in Eufaula, Alabama, and they put a bid on it, and they got accepted that day. And they sold their house in Michigan, paid cash for that house. They were moving to Alabama because it was about a third of the price. One of the first things they said is, we got to find a church. They were raised in church. They were saved in church. They went to Christian school. They went to Bible college. We got to find a church. That night, they came to our church first time on Sunday night. Saw them walk in. Sat down. I thought, that is a family that knows a lot about truth. You could tell by how they look. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
They didn't look like I did when I first went to church. And as they sat down, while I was preaching, I noticed the lady. Her face was that long. Sad. The man, amen, with an angry look. A couple weeks go by, and I noticed them begin to look around and other people's faces and not see it on their face. And one day, sitting down talking to him, just asked him. He said, man, I'm a Christian. We had to get away. And he began to tell me this story. And I thought, man, God brought you from all the way from Michigan to South Alabama to hear what I'm getting ready to tell you.
Oh, amen, brother. Come on.
He's talking about their Christian life. And here's what he said. He said, I just don't understand why it ain't working out for us. And I looked at him and I said, I'll tell you why, Eric. Because the Christian life is not about how I'm living. It's about who I'm allowing to live inside of me.
That's so good, Joy. Amen.
And when he's living in me, it will change how I'm living.
Yes, sir.
But if he's not living in me, I'm going to be miserable. It's amazing. That dude had never been taught how to have a daily time where he spent time with God, read the Bible, learn how to pray, talk with God. A Bible college graduate. He began to, this is just 4 weeks ago. He began to spend time with God, and y'all, it's crazy now. They walk on church, they're walking around, and these, I don't mean it wrong because you may be from up north. These people are from they're Yankees. I'm talking about, I don't mean it bad. We got Yankees in our church, and they make fun of me, and I make fun of them. It's a love relationship. Amen. But they're Yankees. But listen, they walking around laughing, talking to people, joy. Why? This is why. Because God did not save me to make me miserable.
Amen.
He saved me to give me life.
Amen.
You say, Brother Joy, where does it come from? Listen to me. Let me give you this. And I'm going to read one more verse and we'll be done. We're going to be done close to lunchtime. We're going to be the Methodists today. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now watch this. It's his voice.
Yes.
You said it in Sunday school. Yes, that's why I started crying. It's his voice.
Mm-hmm.
See, God is personal.
Mm.
He's not up there somewhere and he's like NASA's got a monopoly on God. No. He's personal.
Amen.
He talks to you personally.
Yes.
Your name. Your life.
Yes.
Your situation. Amen. You personally. He speaks to you personally.
Yes, he does.
Look in verse 43. Won't you see this? So, Rejoy, how do we get this life every day? Verse 41. I want you to look at verse 41. If you're there, will you say, go ahead?
Go ahead.
The Bible says, then they took away the stone from the place where he was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And then, look at this. When he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud what?
Voice.
Now watch this. Lazarus, come forth. He didn't say come forth. I've heard people say, you know, don't Jesus had to say Lazarus or everybody got out of the grave. That may be true, but listen, I want to say this. You know why he called Lazarus here? Yeah, amen. Tell him we're, yeah, it's fine. You all right? See, his mind goes off too. You're okay. Hey, watch this. You know why he called Lazarus' name here? This is why. Because Lazarus was the one that was dying and dead. He's the one that needed life. And he said this. Lazarus come forth, verse 44. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot, and with grave clothes, and his face was about him like a napkin. Jesus said unto him, loose him and let him go. Why? Because Jesus had called him to life. Now get this. Every day of my life, my focus must be the voice of Jesus.
Amen.
In my life. That's my Savior. I'm in a relationship with Him. It's His fellowship. It's His presence. It's His voice in my life. And I've got to have God's voice in my life. Because how many of you know this? Church is miserable without God's voice.
Amen.
Who wants to go sit and listen to somebody scream and holler for 30 minutes? Amen.
No, sir.
Hey, it's miserable without the voice of God.
Amen.
True story here. 6 weeks ago, there's this girl that started coming to our church. She's 26 years old. She's married. She got two kids. Crazy thing. Listen, her testimony is incredible. But she'd been part of a Catholic church, a Methodist church, a Baptist church, a Pentecostal church. She had brands and stripes from every brand. She walked in. And don't miss this. It was on a Wednesday night when it happened. And I remember when it happened. She told me about it this week, but I remembered. Last Wednesday night after our prayer meeting, she came to me and she was talking to me about her husband and their kids and what was going on in their life. And she broke down and I said, Des, how you doing? And here's what she said. She said, Brother Joe, I cannot explain it. She said, I've been in church and around church all my life. But 3 weeks ago, on Wednesday night, I was sitting in prayer meeting, and it was the first time that I heard God speak to me. Mm-hmm. And she said, Brother Joey, that night when I was sitting right there on that pew, when he spoke, I called on him and gave him my life right there in my seat.
Praise the Lord.
While you were teaching, I did. And she said, Brother Joey, I cannot explain the last 3 weeks when I'm sitting in these pews, when I'm reading my Bible at home, when I'm riding down the road in my car, that God is with me. And she's got tears just falling off her face. And she said, I never understood that God was real until now.
Wow.
Amen. Listen, my friend. That's why He came. He didn't come down here to make you look like a monk. He didn't come down here that we would be miserable.
Right.
And that the world would laugh at us.
No.
He came to give us life.
Amen.
Do you have that life this morning? Have you come to the end of you? Have you come as a sinner and said, oh God, there's nothing I can ever do to save myself. I know that I've done bad things, but Lord, I can't save me. I need you, Jesus. I'm why you died and rose. God, I give you my life. Save me, Lord. Have you made that choice? Number two, are you living it? Are you every day going after His voice? Lord, it's you I need. It's your presence that I gotta have. Is that your day? Would you bow your heads with me? Oh God, we need your help. You alone know us, Lord. God, right now, as you survey the hearts in this room, you speak, Lord. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed right where you're sitting. You say, Brother Joey, where I am right now, God is talking to me about my need for Christ. I know that I need to turn from my own way to Jesus and be saved. Brother Joey, will you pray for me right now? Because God is talking to my heart about my need for Jesus. Will you raise your hand, Lord? I will pray for you. Would you pray for me? I know that I need Christ this morning. now this morning. Thank you. God bless you. Anybody else pray for me? Thank you. Now this morning you say, Brother Joy, I've given my life to Christ. I've known what it's like to be filled with His joy and His presence. But oh, I've got away from it. I've forgotten that I need Him today just like I did the day I got saved. And Brother Joey, His voice has grown cold to me. And I need to get back to where His voice is real and sweet. And His presence is in my life. Preacher, will you pray for me? Will you slip your hand over mine? Let's be honest now. Come on. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. No, I'm going to pray. When I'm done praying, these altars, these steps are for praying. You come pray. You got a need, you come. Let's get it settled this morning.
Yes.
I'm going to pray and He's going to sing. Father, we thank You for loving us. Thank You for being our God now. And the Lord, do what You long to do in our life. I pray for those that, Jesus, that are not sure that You're their Savior, that today they will get that settled.
Grant.
And Lord, I pray right now for Christians. That Your voice has grown distant. Then, oh God, they'll respond to Your call to them this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Would you stand to your feet with me if you're able to?
272, let's stand.
He's going to sing, you need to pray. Listen, you come. You come, you step out. Ma'am, sir, you come on. You pray, you've got a need. You come this morning as our brother sings. You come on. Pray with you this morning. That's it, sir. God bless you. Come on. You got a need this morning.
I sit oppressed here.
You let God help you this morning. Ma'am, listen, Jesus, your need. He's your need. Think about this, sir. It is Christ. He's the need. Christ is our need. He's our need this morning. Listen, it's not a God that's far away. He's a God that is near to us by the blood of Christ. Oh, but we must come to Him. We must have Him this morning. He's going to sing again. Before He does, I want you to think about this, Christian. Listen. You say, Brother Joe, I'm a Christian. I know that I am. And His voice has grown so distant in my life. Why don't you go talk to Him about it? Why don't you say, Lord, I want to get back to that time when You were real. In the car. At home, at work, You were real, Lord. You weren't just my God, but You were my personal God. I knew You. We're going to sing again. Listen, you need to talk to the Lord. Humble yourself this morning before His feet. Let Him help you. But Tommy, you sing as He sings.
For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to be sown. Much happened to the crimson blood that washes white as snow. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into
appreciate that. That is absolutely true, and that is the greatest need we have. It's so easy to go to church and sit in a building and sing psalms and read about some verses and miss the whole purpose of all of it.
Yes, ma'am.
It's not about just doing those outward things. It's about Christ is alive and your personal relationship with Him.
Amen.
He wants you to have fellowship with Him. He wants you to be close to Him.
Yes.
When He called the disciples, He called them to be with Him.
Amen.
Not just to go and send them later on. Let them, He said, I want y'all to be with Me. And when He called you, that's what He wants as well. Amen?
Amen.
And I appreciate that so much, Brother Joey. And you plan on being back here tonight at 6.
Amen.
I'm certain that God will speak to your heart. You'll get some help this week.
Amen.
And that's our prayer, is that God would help us. Amen?
Amen.
But you have to respond. You have to humble yourself and say, Lord, that's the need I have in my life. And I want to encourage you to do that. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's be dismissed in a word of prayer, okay? Brother Phil, pray for us.
Heavenly Father, we thank You for this Lord's Day. We thank You for the opportunity to hear Your word.
Yes, God.
Brother Joey, we thank Him so much for delivering such a powerful message that we
have. Thank You.
Father, we thank You for our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes,
God. How He suffered, bled, and died for our sins. We're so grateful for salvation, for eternal life, and for forgiveness of sin.
Yes, Lord.
And we do ask that You cleanse our hearts of any unrighteousness that any of us may have.
Grant.
Help us to be more like Him.
Yes.
We do pray for the many that have needs in our church. Father, I ask that You would continue to help them and strengthen them and encourage them.
Yes, Jesus, please.
We love You and thank You for all that You do for us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. What time tonight?
Six.
All right, make sure you're here.
Six.
Thank you.